Welcome to our podcast, All the Things.
And we are here to talk about all the things.
Faith, politics, race, gender.
All the things that have been off the table. We're going to talk about those things.
Again, welcome to All the Things. Let's get started with today's episode.
Okay. Hi, I'm Fernell Miller.
I'm Dr. Jen Self.
And I'm Erin Jones.
And we're already into it.
Go, we are.
We already started before we hit record.
I'm a fool for beach.
That's right.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah, so I just got back on Friday from D.C. 5 days with the Teachers of the Year, my former student, Brooke Ramp. Teacher of the Year, Washington State, first Black woman to get Washington State Teacher of the Year award, and a former student of mine who I just loved so very much. I've known her since, we've known each other for 23 years, a long time. And
history.
I actually met her Fernell and Jen, you're going to love this story because I had not remembered how we met the first time. She wasn't exactly in my classroom. Here's how we met. I thought we met at church because she did go to our church for a while, and her mom and dad have been going to our church till the very end. But she as a kid went to our church, and that's how I assumed we met, but that's not actually how we met. When I didn't make it in the WNBA tryouts, I was looking for places to serve using basketball, and the late night basketball program in Tacoma on the Hilltop needed some support. And I started volunteering there, and I offered to do the speaking. So at night there'd be somebody would give some sort of encouraging word. And then the young men, mostly, it was 90% men, 95% young men, most of them were gang affiliated, but there were two young ladies that used to come. Both of them now are my mentees, which is crazy. I mean, now that I make this connection, one of them I met at 12 years old, and that's Zenobia, who, Fernell, you
got to... Oh, Miss Zenobia. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So Zenobia, when she was 12, just walked up to me at the gym. She was the first girl there ever, and walked up to me and said, "You're going to be my mentor." Just like that. Just like that. I've been her mentor for 23 years. So we've been in relationship ever since then. We've been her basketball coach. Like, we have done life with her family. So Brooke, I met because she was the second group of girls, and she came with a crew from her basketball team at Wilson High School. And she reminded me that I was the one who spoke every night at that point. And she would come just to hear me share. And she said that just gave me hope. And in fact, I'm not going to share details about this, but there's something that I shared when she was 16 about my marriage, something I confessed that was super vulnerable, that saved her marriage 10 years ago.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's connection. That's deep.
And she had never told me that. And so we're like doing it, just girls. Just to be girls last week at this thing, to have her ask me to come with her to her biggest event of her life, was just, as a teacher, like, there's nothing better than getting to hang with your former student who's now the Teacher of the Year, who's now this like phenomenal adult human that everyone thinks is fabulous, who is truly fabulous. And I got to see her in all of her fabulousness, from just hanging out with her in the room to, we went to the Smithsonian Museum of American Indians. We went to the Smithsonian of American Portraits and went to go see, we were hoping to see the Obama portrait. It was on tour. So we got to see photos, which were amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk tonight about something that I noticed. Y'all know that I'm a walker. So every day one day I walked 14 miles, y'all.
I love DC because you can walk so far in DC. I love it. But
I walked to the Pentagon, yeah, to the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked literally all over the city every day.
Yeah.
And one of the things about DC that I had forgotten, and it's probably true for most East Coast cities, is there's a church like every other block. There's a big old church.
Yep.
And right now, every single church has a big Black Lives Matter sign, either outside or in the windows. I mean, Black Lives Matter signs are absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
What?
You stayed on the Black Lives Matter street or square.
I stayed on the street. as they were pincing at Black Lives Matter. So they had started doing that the day before I got there. By the time I was heading out, it was finished. So the Black Lives Matter sign is permanently on the street right in front of the White House, and that's where I stayed. So you're passing by all these signs that say Black Lives Matter, and concurrently, signs in people's yards that say we have no representation, taxation without representation.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, I know y'all know this, that DC is not officially represented.
Right.
And so what that means for schools is whoever the mayor is runs their schools, decides who the superintendent is going to be. But here, and all of those government buildings don't pay any taxes.
Yeah.
So the biggest buildings in the city don't contribute to the tax base. Right. That's So here's what I wanted to talk about today. There are a couple of things.
As you're walking.
Like, how is it that in our nation's capital, we can say Black Lives Matter, and yet the very people that we say matter, because DC is like 70-something percent Black. When you talk about who actually lives there, who works there is a bunch of white folks, but who lives there is mostly Black folks.
Yep.
When people can say Black Lives Matter, but they have no representation in government, but let's pull it out to here, Washington State, too. All the people, whether progressive, whoever they are, who say Black Lives Matter, don't have a Black friend, not contributing to any Black business. That thing just struck me. Yep. It struck me how easy it is to put a sign up in your yard or to paint a sign on a street, but do nothing. Like the sign itself is nothing. It's nothing if there's no action behind it. And so I found myself on the one hand loving being in DC, because I do love it. I've been there so many times, I can't even count anymore. I love being around a lot of Black people. Like, there's nothing better than that for me, to just walk and be in space with lots of people who look like me. And it was really tragic because every homeless person was also Black. And there were lots of homeless people right now. And that just was such a reminder, this is our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And who are we serving? So I just want to throw all that out there and see what y'all think about it.
Yeah, that's not a new topic. I've been on every chance I get to listen to radio podcasts. That is always the crux of it. The very place that's pumping out laws, policies, practices that are supposed to represent the very people who are the least represented and underserved are looking at each other, like are bumping elbows, are in the same street, walking the same pathway. You're just walking by that with your sign painted and then nothing's happening. There's no trickle down, nothing. And there's no words to describe what the people who live there feel like. The students who are in schools there and their lottery system and all of that are like the ones most in need should be in the lead. And they're not even in the room to be at a table to do anything. And by the way, it's all buried on top of them as well. So, I mean, Black people should own that area anyway.
They built it, right?
They built it, own it, but look who is in control of it. It's the same kind of, you know, I mean.
But it feels like, because we've talked a lot about this, the anti-CRT stuff, the anti-critical race theory stuff. And so that's one demographic, right? We all know that. Like, that's conservative, Republican. But I would argue that there's nothing better about the other side saying Black Lives Matter, but we're not going to do anything about it. Like, these folks they're disingenuous, because I think that CRT, the anti-CRT fight is not authentic. But at least I know where you stand, though. Like, I know you just don't want to talk about race.
Right, that's right.
There's nothing worse than the pretend, like, let's talk about it, but we're not going to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Where is the... there was a, I mean, it seemed like there was at least a tiny movement in Congress this year to make DC a state unto itself, but I don't know what's happening with that.
don't either.
I don't know if it died. Because I know it has to pass both.
Well, look at all the legislation that is dying on the Hill right now about protecting the vote. Mm-hmm. All of that.
I know. Yeah.
Policing, George Floyd bill, even make Build Back Better. Yeah. Just have all of those key pieces. It's just.
I know.
Really? But let's just go to the moon. Let's just do that. Don't worry about anybody here. Don't talk about anything real. Don't make a difference in anybody's life and their quality of living and what's going on right here on our very planet. But let's go across the country and do everything across the country and be in everybody else's business while we don't take care of business at home. And then we'll go to the moon too on top of that. Mm. That's the hypocrisy that we're looking at it and then just shake our head and go, oh, what do we do? What do we do? Really? What do you think we do?
Yeah.
What do you think we do?
Yeah.
But get real first.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, when you were describing DC and then describing Washington State, I don't think this is profound or anything, but it struck me like you were, here's DC that's 70% black and Washington State that's at least 70% white. And so basically the opposite of each other, and neither place will do anything about anything that has anything to do with Black lives actually mattering, like putting that into motion. And it's another way that that in this country, we just say to Black people, you can't win. You can't win. You cannot win for losing in this country, because you basically own the city. You like live in the city. You are the majority in the city. And yet,
power.
Yeah.
No voice.
Yeah, it's.
So, yeah, I got to hang out with the teacher of the year for DC. And he's a Black guy, of course.
Because right.
And he was just so frustrated with what he has to endure and just how helpless he feels. And he's brilliant. Oh my gosh. Alejandro is brilliant, super young. I think he was the youngest in their cohort, just like 28, 20. Oh, no, I guess he says he's 29, but he's 34. Sorry. I forgot that. So I heard him say, because this guy was all week, how old is Aaron? Like, for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I guess how old
she is. 21.
Everybody got wrong everywhere, which they just found so hysterical. It was just, and I was like, y'all can't be having me out after dark. Sorry. I know I don't like it, but
bedtime's at 9:30.
Exactly. Y'all are just going out now. No. I'm back to bed.
No.
But anyway, Alejandro is super young, but super wise. I mean, he's grown up in it, right? And, and so he's not only teaching in it, he's grown up in it and sees what's going on there. And every cab driver that I talked to, it was so fascinating. Most of the cab drivers are brown people, of course, not all black. I had a cab driver who was from Pakistan. I had a cab driver who was from Korea, but the rest of them were all from the continent of Africa, not black American, but from the continent of Africa, Cameroon, almost all French African. So I got to speak some French too this week, which is interesting. But to hear from their perspective, we were coming to America for this. And now here's what we're experiencing. That was another really interesting dynamic of the trip. Yeah. Was just listening to immigrants in their own language tell me kind of how they were experiencing this country as Black people. And, one of them said, I had never thought of myself Black until I came to America, which is absolutely my experience too. I mean, you just don't. It's so clear here that you're black or you're white. I mean, it's just so clear in that space that you have to choose. Well, you don't get to choose. No, you don't get to choose. You get perceived and treated that way. And so it was really interesting to hear the perspective of the people. And then for now, I know you follow me on social media, so you saw this picture, but the image of the older grandma. So on Thursday morning, my last full day in DC, I found out about Dr. Molly's, one of her best friends from college, also lives in DC. And I didn't realize that he and I are friends totally separately from running for office. He used to live in DC, but they were friends in college. So she posted something about me and he's like, wait, Aaron is in DC? We need to have coffee. And so I decided to walk from where I was to the other side of town where he and his husband lived. And as I'm on my way, I'm about a block away. I'm listening to music. I'm about a block away. And I love walking when school buses are picking up kids and kids are out being walked to school. I love that time of day, just watching parents walk their kids to school. But the other dynamic is DC public schools, unless you're special ed, you have to get to your school yourself. Mm. So there are kids walking, there are kids biking, there are kids, which is terrifying, biking in DC is not a safe thing.
Right.
And then they're taking the metro on their own. So as cute as it looks, there's also this not cute dynamic of it. But I'm about a block away and there's this old grandma and she is propped onto a cart. So I can tell from a block away, man, this lady is tired from the back. She's tired. She's heavy. She just, like, she's the picture of exhaustion. And I can tell without even seeing her face by the way she is holding herself on this. And that's what I'm thinking. And there's a little girl next to her. And I get up to the light and grandma takes one look at me and says, honey, where are you going? And I was like, where am I going? I don't even know where I'm going. I don't live here. I'm walking to coffee with a friend. Well, are you headed that way? I said, yeah, and some other way, but yeah, I'm headed that way. And she said, can you walk my grandbaby to school?
Mm.
And I said, of course I can walk. And by the way, I'm a teacher.
So yeah.
What's
yeah.
your name?
Right.
And I ended up walking this little girl to school and getting to talk to her about her experience with school and her experience online. Her name's Desiree. I'm going to put that
one. Hi, Desiree.
Desiree.
Okay, fourth grade, Desiree, loves SpongeBob.
Oh, you got a jewel full of earful. Go ahead.
Oh, I did. Oh. It was just beautiful, you know, and she, Desiree, I asked her, we're on the last corner to get to school, and there were two little black girls across the street waving at her, like screaming and dancing and waving at her. And obviously they do the same little thing, meeting up at the same time. And I was like, you got some friends over there. She's like, I don't know them.
I don't know them.
She's just talking to me. She's talking to me and I don't know them. And I said, oh my gosh, Desiree, can we take a selfie together? Because I do not want to forget you. Is that okay? Sure we can. And see her little mask self with her little sass. She's got some sass. And I send her on her way to her two little friends who she is happy to see when she gets there. But yeah. On the other side of the street, she's like, I don't know them.
I don't know them.
I say that to say also the weight of that poor grandma who may have already walked another child to school that
right,
day.
Right.
Who can't walk well. I mean, I could tell by the way she was holding onto that cart, like she's using that cart. So she obviously also doesn't have a walker that she probably needs to walk with. So she's got this like shopping cart that she's not a shopping cart, but you know those little people drag a little cart that they use to put their groceries.
Yeah.
That's not meant to hold somebody's weight.
No.
And so here's a picture of a grandma who's trying to do the right thing by her child and her grandbaby to take her little girl to school. And I just happened to pass by. And on the one hand, I'm really glad that I'm trustworthy and that she could obviously see something in me that she knew. And people just know, like, I think people know when you love kids and you're safe, but that she had to trust her grandbaby to a stranger
mm-hmm.
to get her the rest of the way.
Sure.
School is tragic to
it's,
me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. You know, obviously in the state of Washington, she would get a school bus, but there are no school buses. Well, maybe not now because the state of Washington with the new vaccine deal, there aren't
school buses. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So just so much, y'all. So I've come home with like the joy of having celebrated 6 days with amazing educators of color, like to be around educators of color. For that long, who get it was phenomenal, and they just welcomed me right into their tribe. But I also come home heavy with the weight of all of that, like right in my face too.
Yeah.
And we just have so much work to do, and we can't afford to not do the work and not keep fighting every day for this work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at times it feels enormous. It feels overwhelming.
And then I have to think, man, we just want, if I can change one heart, one mind. You know, I got to sit in front of Pramila Jayapal on mm-hmm. the way home. Probably no one else would have recognized her, but
that's amazing. I love that. Yeah.
So I know her.
Yeah.
And I recognized her even with nobody else did. And it's funny because we were on the plane. So I saw her. And then the lady behind me at the end when I was saying goodbye to Pramila was like, wait, stop. It's my congressperson. Oh my gosh. Just thinking about what she's walking through, trying to do the right thing as a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Our state, and she's exhausted.
Oh, I'm sure she's just, yeah, she, yeah. I mean, they're only like, you know, like like 10 people, and she's one of them who are doing anything.
Most ever in Washington, all 10 of them, like Aaron and I, and, you know, one of five Black women in this whole school district.
Yeah.
The representation of Washington is just so stark and isolating.
Yeah.
She gets 2 days home, so she's going back tonight. She has been there for 4 months, and she got 2 days home. And if you know, I mean, it just traveling across country like that, like the time difference, 2 days is just enough time to get a little bit settled, and then just enough to really mess you up to go back to DC.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
So she was leaving with her suitcases. She said, "Aaron, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired."
Yeah.
I thought, man, I'm going to be praying for her. And, it's such an uphill battle for her to balance the budget. And, you know, she's part of the team trying to balance the budget. And she tried to post on Twitter a thank you to Brooke and just honor Brooke and the responses that she got within minutes. This guy, like with his penis in his hand, reposted her tweet and said, "This is what I think of you." Another person responded and said, "There's nothing good that comes out of Washington State." And I turned around and looked at her behind me and said, "Girl, how do you deal with this every day?"
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Our state, and this is in moments, trying to say something nice, in moments, the vitriol and the hate was just gross.
Yeah, it's intense. It's intense.
I won't run for office again. Not doing it.
Mm-mm. Mm. Well, I'm going to point us to Loree Daniel Favors and her husband, Brian Flowers. They're breaking the cycle consulting services. And she always talks about the long game.
Mm-hmm. Versus, yeah.
You're just talking about, well, the signs are up that we, you know, that we gave a situational or a celebration, but nothing of substance.
Yeah.
Versus the long game of white supremacy is to keep in, you know, putting people in those positions and offices. And so they have all these terms and the terms never end. And then that's why it's white supremacy is never ending. And so to have a long game with it and knowing that the fix is not quick or easy, but the consistent long game, as well as the wins, the celebrations, the little ground, both and, you know what I always say? Yes, and both and. I can't be satisfied with a little paint here and a poster there and a couple of representation there. I need the whole picture. I need the whole substance, things that are going to change the way I move through the world and the life that I have for my children and grandchildren. That's the long game. And so I love how she talks about that and listen to her on the XR or whatever that radio station. But anyway, you can follow her on Twitter, Loree, Lurie Daniel Favors. And she's activist, attorney, and longstanding commitment to racial and social justice. So I love to follow her examples of that. And one was, I'm thinking just justice, what was that? Something, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a every Monday, a way to practice justice. What congressperson did you call? How did you get through? What did you check on to show for people who are being held on bail and bond that are all illegal and upside down and you know, all of those things that we hear on the news, but what did you do about it? Did you write that letter? Did you call? Did you get a group and go and show up or be present? How did you fight? How did you educate? There's so many ways that we can show up and do that. And then the other side of that coin is the healing piece. What are we doing to heal all of the hurt, the broken, the backwards, the upside down, the inside out? What are we doing to heal that? And we can't heal it if we don't talk about it, can't face it, fix it if we don't face it. We've been talking about that for the past, I don't know how long. So all those things, I need substance, not substitute things. I need yes and all that and then some more. So if you've got some ways that you're doing it in the community, we'd love to highlight that on our podcast. Come and be a guest and share with us how to do that. We'll provide some links in our chat about that. But y'all, we got to get busy. We can't just sit and shake our head about it and think something's going to happen without our action. Awareness to action.
Go ahead, Jen.
One of the things I see, one of the things that Republicans did a long time ago that really firmly implanted white Republicans in position to take power for a long time was they started off in school boards. And one of the things I'm seeing currently that I feel like is really important is that Black and Brown people are getting on school boards and and I'm feeling like really encouraged by where people are getting in positions of leadership at levels in the community. So I'm feeling excited about that and noticing that and feeling good about that, because that to me is the long game. Like that, those positions will lead to larger positions, which will lead to larger positions, which will lead to larger positions.
And if you've not been to a school board meeting or been paid attention to it before, now is the time to pay attention more than ever.
Yeah.
Look up and find out about these candidates who are coming out of the woodwork and trying to incite that position again.
Yes.
And so please.
Heads up. And if you're a white person who thinks you need to be on the school board and you've got somebody running against you, maybe think about doing something else. Maybe get out of the way or be on a committee.
And I would offer too, as someone who sits on the board for the Opportunity PAC, if you're in Washington State, there's opportunity for you to support Black women who are running for office.
Yes.
We support Black women from all across the state of Washington. So wherever you happen to be listening, and let's say you're not in Washington State, support Black women in Washington State.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to live here to support these women. We have more Black women running for office right now than ever in the history of our state. Yeah. So you could help us. You could help us raise up. Money is everything in elections, and which I know from having run for office. And Black women are the least to be supported financially. So we are the hardest to get support. Doesn't matter how hard we work for support. We are the last ones to people just don't trust us to donate to us. So we have to work twice as hard to get the same amount of money as a white man gets, or even a white woman. So I would invite, that's another practical thing that you can do, is support the Opportunity PAC. We're the only one of its kind in the country, actually. And so it's a really great opportunity. I want to speak to something that Fresnel said, but Jen, you've talked about this too. Something that I saw in the Teachers of the Year last week, the cohort of Black and Brown teachers that I got to spend time with, they are also exhausted. And they're not just physically exhausted, they're emotionally exhausted. Imagine being the Teacher of the Year in a season when you're a target as a Black and Brown person, when talking about race is for some of them, literally, there are a couple of them that are in states where it's illegal now to talk about race. And yet they are Black and Brown, right? So you can't even talk about your own self in a lot of ways, right? And so one of the things I felt like kind of my job last week was just number one, modeling self-care. So walking and taking naps whenever I needed to and getting a good meal. But also telling them it's okay when you mess up and you can't be everywhere and you can't do everything. And I got to be kind of mom and big sister. And there are so many of those things I wish I had known when I was 30 or 35 or 40 in teaching, that I just didn't take good care of myself. And I was out playing basketball, but there were other ways that I wasn't taking good care of myself, and emotionally and in relationships, and who am I surrounding myself with, and who am I letting to tell me what to do and who am I saying? No, no, I'm not going to, you're not paying me to do that. Just because I'm the Black person in the school building. No, I'm not going to do your Black History Month events. I'm not going to host that Martin Luther King event. I'm not going to do Hispanic, right? So I just, for all those of you listening who are educators of color, I just want to invite you that you don't have to do all the things. You don't have to lead the equity team at your school just because you're Black or brown. You can say no. And in fact, you need to say no because you can't do it all. Right. And I would offer that it is, in a lot of ways, our fight is just showing up. Mm-hmm. Like just the fact that we show up in classroom spaces is enough of a fight. That's enough. You are enough just as you are. And I felt like that was kind of my job last week, was just to remind every day we were there, y'all are enough and you don't have to do it all. And they're not paying you to be here. So like, you need to figure out what are the boundaries for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm so glad they got to experience you and me that too. And all of that. It's so important. We didn't have that in our
district. No.
We didn't even get to know that we were supported anywhere. We were just so alone. And remember, Erin and I, we talked about this in the generation before us, not having the baton passed to us. Well, they couldn't. They're too busy surviving, existing, fighting, trying to hold it together. They don't have time to pass a baton. We're so aware of that. And even just the three of us to find each other and meet, it took a pandemic to do that. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We didn't ever get to see each other unless it was a conference. And then we got 5 minutes in the hallway. Oh, see you later. And we never got to connect, support, breathe, build, any of that. And just now, because of a pandemic, we are getting to do that.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
Let's talk about segregation for real.
Mm.
I shouldn't be one of five Black women in a school district of 33,000. I shouldn't be there by myself like that.
No.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pandemic to find other communities of color, other teachers of color. You have no idea. Like you said, our it's just beginning. You have not even heard what's going on in our schools. We're not even ready for that conversation yet.
Yeah.
And I want to remind you, my mother was teacher of the year back in
1950,
60 something. And the only reason she got to find out is that they slipped it under her door, because after they turned in her work and highlighted and celebrated, oh, this beautiful work, smart teacher. And then they found out she was Black. She wasn't invited to any ceremony. She never knew or found out. They slipped it in the office at her school under the door. Oh, by the way, you're brilliant. Right? That's what I'm talking about. There's bazillion brilliant Black educators out there.
Yeah.
And we can't even find each other. So I think we need a whole podcast about just that later. Okay.
For now. Oh, gosh.
I know.
Any last thoughts, y'all, about how to show up before we wrap this up?
Well, I just love what you said about the long game, Fernell. I mean, I think that's right. It is the long game. We have to be in it every single day with that vision. With that vision.
Who are we putting in office? Who's there representing us? And if they're not representing, why are they there? Switch it up, change it out, vote it in, vote it, all of that.
Yeah.
All of them up. They work for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's link elbows, everybody. Come on.
Yeah, you know, something that came up in the little church thing that I've been doing the last few weeks, but today came up today, is my last thought on this, is there are those people that are out in front and speaking and advocating publicly. They're in office, they have titles. And then there's those people behind the scenes who are writing letters and sending whatever support in whatever way that looks, whether it's financial or sending care packages to people that are doing the talking, whether that's you're sending care packages to a teacher that's doing the work or a principal, or you're state representative, you don't have to have a title to be part of this work.
Right.
And you actually don't have to be a talker either. So yeah. We're all three. I mean, we've taken talking roles, but you don't actually need to be a talker. And in fact, some of the best work happens behind closed doors. People online sending emails to folks, and whether you're sending emails to your congressperson or sending emails to that teacher that you know that's really tired and just saying, hey, I see you, and how can I support you? Can I send you an Amazon gift card or whatever? And so I just want to say to those of you who think, well, I don't have a title, I'm not going to run for office. That's okay. What are you going to do with what you have? So you're a stay-at-home parent, or maybe you're working three jobs and you're not sure what you have to contribute. Can you take 15 minutes a week to send an email to someone, send free emails to someone? How are you talking with your children about these things? How are you talking to your neighbor about these things?
There it is, right there.
Right? I mean, we got to start somewhere. And I think too often people either feel overwhelmed or they feel like I am not enough to say anything. And that's where we get caught up, is I'm not enough. And so, especially for those of us in marginalized identities, we've been told for so long, we're not enough, that we believe it, and then don't step in and don't believe that our voices matter. And I would offer to you that, first of all, your voice matters, but secondly, your presence matters, and yes, your presence in whatever way you want to show up. And it doesn't have to be on a stage. It doesn't have to be running for office. Figure out what is the thing that you love to do, that you're good at doing, that you could contribute to this cause. If every little thing, it's like throwing a stone into a pond, it still will move the water.
Beautiful. Okay, I've got a poem for my favorite poet, Kim Leatherman. It's called Ignition of the Spark. I feel that I'm emerging from the wood, looking forward to feeling good. Something inside me has healed, not sure if it will be revealed. I just know I'm getting clear, and healing others is why I'm here. I need not focus on the past, just look for where my light can cast. Flow is present as I write, darkness lifting, revealing the light. As the seed grows in the dark, I recognize the ignition of the spark. I will keep my eye out for those in need, so I may nurture another's seed. Kim Leatherman. Let's take a breath on that and close out.
Oof. You know what, for now, I'm just going to add this, because that poem made me think of Brooke again. So I stayed in Brooke 23 years ago.
Right, that's right.
All of us have been teachers at some point. All of us have worked with young people, and sometimes you get to see that seed bear fruit. Other times you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
So to every teacher that's listening to this as well, I want you to know that, man, keep planting those seeds.
Yes.
Keep seeds and trust that they're going to bear fruit, and you may never see it.
That's right.
And I think that's the hardest thing about teaching, is that you often don't get to see the fruit. I got to see the fruit this week, and I absolutely believe it was to remind me to keep sowing seed.
Yes.
And don't stop sowing seed just because you don't see the results. You have to just keep sowing seed. And Brooke is that seed that bore beautiful fruit. And now she's sowing seed that will bear beautiful fruit. And if we could just plant in one, even if we could just plant in one, imagine the cascading effect of that, right? She's touching hundreds, and then they're going to touch.
That's right. Our future, y'all. That's our future right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Long game. Look at that.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you. That's a good word, y'all. That's a good word.
Okay, until next time.
All right. I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Find Fernell Miller. Look for her at The Root of Us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as LinkedIn. And check out her book, You Are Here, Field Guide for Racial Reality, on the website.
If you want to reach Dr. Jen Sub, you can find them on LinkedIn or at brick13.com.
If you're looking for Erin Jones, you can find her on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. You can also purchase a copy of her book she co-authored, Thrive, on Amazon. Until next time,
keep talking
about all the things.